Today's gospel is from the 19th chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 1, page 854 in your pew Bible. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're celebrating like a child. You know, kids have a great way of keeping us young. I'm the youngest in my family, and so my parents in those days seemed pretty old to be having kids still. And we were driving on a family vacation through Vancouver, British Columbia. I was about 12 years old, and our family vacations, because my older three siblings were in college or working or having, you know, their own families at that time. It was the three of us. And so they didn't join us on our family vacations. We drove through the city, and the middle of the city was a roller coaster. I grew up in Montana. I'd never even seen a roller coaster in person. And I said, I came out of the back seat and I said to my mom and dad, "Hey, could we please stop? It's a roller coaster. Can we go on the roller coaster? I've never been on a roller coaster." And I don't know what happened, but they had a weak moment. And they pulled over and they stopped. So then I'm saying, "Well, one of you need to go with me." My mom's like, "I'm not going on that." And my dad, he said, "Okay, I'll go." He looked pretty nervous sitting there. And we went on the ride. I was thrilled. My dad, it was his first time on a roller coaster as well. And he kind of said, "Well, don't need to do that again." But kids have this great way of keeping us young. And Jesus urges us to have the heart of a child. A child's heart is warm to God. Today's Reformation Sunday is an important day to celebrate because so much good, so much that we benefit from is a direct result from the Reformation. On October 31st, 1517 is when Martin Luther pounded the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. He was not trying to start a new church. He was bringing necessary correction to the church, to the corruption of the Roman Church, and he was labeled a heretic for it. But now, 505 years later, we see the long-standing effects of what began. We have a Bible, right? The Bible in our language. The first Bible translated in the language of the people was by Dr. Martin Luther. He wrote it in German. Before that, the Bible was only in Latin or Greek and Hebrew, and only the scholars and some priests could even read the Bible. But Luther brought it home so that all people had access to the Word of God. They could hear it and they could read it. In fact, today the United Bible Society reports that the Bible has been translated in whole or in part in 3,324 languages. Isn't that astounding? So that people can hear and read the Bible in their mother tongue, because that is how God speaks to us, through our mother tongue. The theme today is celebrate. And I just want to thank Matthew and all of the musicians that are here today and the bell choir. Beautiful to have such a great celebration musically. So thank you for bringing that to us. So we're celebrating like a child. A child's heart is warm to God. I want to focus in particular on one important gift that the Reformation gave to us, which is a greater understanding that God isn't far away, distant, but that God wants to have a personal relationship with you and me. God loves, and he saved us even before we could attempt to think that we somehow had a stake in that, or somehow had a, if we were good enough, that he would look to us. As Romans says, but God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Luther brought home the importance that God is our Heavenly Father and that he is compassionate, and he's a God of love and friendship, and he is our Father. He revealed the truth that we have access to God through prayer and worship, and that God desires to have a relationship with his people. The church is to aid in making that happen. The church in Luther's day was the access to God, but Luther taught that everyone has access to God because our hearts are warmed and full when they find him. We just experienced an amazing week here at Shepherd of the Hills. It's called the Discovery Experience, and many of us got to take part in that. And there were one thing that I want to share from that that I thought was really profound to remember, is that when God calls us, there's actually two levels to the calling. The first, I guess, order of calling or distinct calling is, well, first I'll tell you, what's a calling? Well, a calling is like a summons. So you call someone on the phone, so you say, hey, can you come over? A call is not just saying you're going to be this vocation. You're not going to be like, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a musician, or you're going to be a prayer person or person of hospitality. It's not your vocation. It's something greater in this context. A call is an inner longing to something greater. And there's two levels to the calling that God gives to us. The first order call is what I've been talking about, that invitation to a relationship with Christ. That God saved us through Jesus on the cross, and accepting his lordship is this first order call, that he is our Father and we are his children. The second order call is God's invitation to follow Jesus, to serve him through our gifts and our abilities in furthering the kingdom, to find our purpose by serving the greater church and greater world. When we begin to sense, and a lot of people have experienced God's call to faith in this way. They say the sinner's prayer. They say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And please come into my life. That's a beautiful prayer. And so it's accepting Christ. It's believing in Christ in your life. And then they hear God say, I love you. I forgive you. I saved you. And so they believe in Christ. And the next message they think they hear immediately from God is, get to work. Get to work. Go do stuff for me. And go serve. Go lead. Go put your faith into action. And surely that is good and right. It's a great response to God's overwhelming gift of saving us by his grace. But the danger is to focus so much on the second order calling that you could lose the first, or your loving relationship that God gives you gets neglected out of the busyness of serving. And we get to start to think that our worth is somehow caught up in the things that we do for God. But I like thinking of it this way. If you've ever watched a bird, how many wings do they have? Two. There's two wings by which we fly in this life. Have you ever seen a bird fly with one? I don't think they would fly far. I've never seen a bird fly with one wing. They would crash land, and if they could fly, they would kind of fly in circles, I think. Wouldn't get anywhere. But there's two wings by which we fly in faith. It's love for God and love for the neighbor. And both need to be in concert and in harmony. Love for God and love for the neighbor. We need both so that our service would flow out of our relationship with the Lord. That's natural. It's life-giving, it's honest, it's childlike. It keeps us warm to God. A child's heart is warm to God. Gary Smalley teaches in his book, The Keys to Your Child's Heart, a very profound yet simple truth about kids. Parents, as I have, and I know you have as parents, disappoint your kids, you hurt your kids, sometimes you yell at your kids, or you get short-tempered with them. And that can cause a rift in your relationship, and you know what I'm talking about. So little Johnny is feeling hurt, and there's a rupture because of what the dad did. And he goes into the bedroom, and Johnny's sitting on the bed with fresh tears on his cheeks. And his dad comes, and he puts his arm on Johnny, and Johnny immediately stiffens up because he's not sure he wants to forgive his dad for what he just did. And the parent says, "I'm sorry. I said what I said to you. I was frustrated, but I could have handled that better. I certainly didn't mean to hurt you. Will you forgive me? Because I want us to have a good relationship." That's the parent reaching out to the child to repair that rupture. "I was frustrated." Okay, he says, "I want us to have a good relationship. But, you know, there'll be times when I hurt you like I have today, and there'll be times when you hurt me. But God gives us the ability to forgive and start over. And to show that we can start over, could we have a hug? Would you give me a hug?" And here's the profound part of this, and I'm sure you've seen this with your kids or grandkids. If the child remains stiff and cold in that hug, they've not forgiven. And more needs to be done. You need to get back to saying, "Okay, let's go through this again. How could I have done things differently? How can you forgive me?" But what happens often is that when you hug that child, they just melt into your body. And that is this symbol or this sign that they've were forgiven and moved on. Their heart is warmed again to their parent because the rupture has been repaired. That's what Gary Smalley says is the key to your child's heart, keeping your child's heart warm to you as a parent, as our heart needs to be warmed to God to be like a child. Today you were given this ministry opportunity booklet. There is a table of contents, and there's a lot of things in here, and I really hope you'll take it home and really think about what's going on and what you would like to be involved in. It's really a work of love by Elaine Tarr, Lori Smith, and the strategic planning team to do this and get this information. It's a work in progress. It may not have everything perfectly, or maybe some things need to change, but it's a beginning point. And it's to represent what's going on here at Shepherd of the Hills. Near the end of our connection classes, which we call our new member class, if you're interested in joining our church, that's the class you would go to learn about Shepherd of the Hills. I end with these three statements that I think, in a way, describe the spirit which moves us into service here at Shepherd of the Hills. And it's these three things. It's okay to say no. It's okay to make mistakes. And it's okay to have fun. I think that my prayer and my hope for each and every one of you is that ministry would move from any sense of obligation to love, that our motivation for doing things in the church or in the greater community would be love, from program participation to expressing love, the love of God through loving action for others, to focus our ministry in such a way that we experience Jesus in and through the tasks we perform for him. So this booklet is to help you ask yourself, how could I get more involved here? And what is God calling me to do? That's your second order calling. And growth and involvement is to be at a sustainable pace. I think sometimes we get over committed. And that's why I want you to think about ministry as majors and minors. A major ministry is something that would maybe take a great deal of time. And depending on the time you have and your gifts, a major ministry is something you'd maybe like to do. In our church, that could be like Stephen Ministry is a major ministry, or leading a Bible study. Those kind of things that take maybe even a weekly participation or a weekly time. A minor ministry takes less time, like ushering, being on the welcome team, reading in church, even being in choir. You come and you sing and you enjoy it. For most congregants, I urge you to consider serving in one major and one minor, because that helps you not to get overwhelmed. Now, you're retired, you have a lot of time, you want to do more, you can do that. But make sure that your serving, again, is like has the two wings, that you have love for God and love for others. And that's especially true if you have a working a job, you have kids at home, or, you know, there's only so much time in a day and so many days in a week. So to be nudged by God to express love to God through loving actions for others, because God's given us gifts to share. That's another gift of the Reformation. Luther called it the priesthood of all believers, that every believer, based because of their baptism, has a ministry. And this is a way you can express that. Celebrate like a child. A child's heart is warm to God. I want to end today just reflecting briefly on Luke 19. Zacchaeus. He's a model of expressing love to God through loving actions to others. I love this story. I've always loved this story, especially as a kid, because it coordinated with the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Great story. This amazing thing, this rich man who had everything. He was short in stature and he couldn't see over the crowd. And so he fixed that by going ahead of the crowd and climbing up a tree just to see Jesus. And Jesus recognized him and said to him, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Really? He comes down off the tree and he's invited into sweet fellowship with Christ. You know, his child's heart, because it shows he wants to be warm with God. And that fellowship changes him profoundly. He says at the end of the meal, I'm giving half of everything I have away, and I'm going to pay back anyone that I've wronged four times the amount. To which Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Friends, we have a first order calling, which is to be in relationship with God. His invitation to live in that relationship is loving. It's through the redemption of the cross and the acceptance of him as our Lord and Savior. His invitation and our reception of this gift is that first order calling. He becomes our Father and we become his children. And out of that ministry emerges a lot of things to celebrate, like a child. A child's heart is warm to God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for Zacchaeus, the man who was short in stature but big in heart. Lord, I'm sure his life didn't feel that way until he met Christ, because he was a tax collector and nobody wanted to get to know him. But Jesus saw him. Jesus, you see each and every one of us right here, right now. You see us, you know us, and you are longing for us to get to know you better. So draw us, Lord, into that loving friendship, that relationship where we can be whole and ourselves, but we can also be forgiven and redeemed, and move us more and more to a heart of love toward you. Forgive our sins and cleanse us so that we may be whole, free, and forgiven. And keep our hearts warm. In Jesus' name we pray.